I'm just going to push the big red button and get started. It's the news, according to me.
Oh, that's loud. Wow.
Maybe I've got things turned up a little louder than normal. Whoa. Hey, it is Wednesday, September 10th, 8:41 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2025. I am your host for the day's show. It is Wednesday. It's not live. Tomorrow might be a live show. It's hard to tell. Next week, there probably will be a live show. Things are going to be very different next week. Kind of easing out of vacation time, kind of wife going back to work, things kind of trying to get back to kind of normal. One thing that is normal is I have my cup of chai here with my Almond Joy creamer in it. I haven't done my facial exercises today. One of the things, as a voiceover artist, you become more articulate. If you stretch your face, there's certain little exercises you do. Can't see me doing them right now. It actually makes you more articulate. It makes your ability to speak. You can speak faster, for one thing, but you can also pronounce words that you wouldn't be able to otherwise pronounce, like things like hyoscine gravis. It's things like that. That's a word, by the way, hyoscine gravis. Beta hyoscine gravis alpha. Yeah. Well, the things you have to say as a voiceover artist, they're kind of crazy. But anyway, got my chai tea with my Almond Joy creamer. I also have a fresh batch of sweet peach tea. The peach flavor isn't really coming through yet. It sat all night. I didn't really stir it this morning very well. I probably should have done that. There is a little peach flavor there though. But it's good. It's okay. It's not one of my best ones, but it's definitely good. Sweet peach tea on the side there. That's my backup cup. That's pretty refreshing actually. The temperature's coming back up again in the area. We had temperatures. The high temperature there one day, I think, wasn't even 60. I think it was 59 degrees or something. It was down in the 40s last couple nights. But however, last night it was, I think, in the 50s. Today it's expected to be up in the 80s today during the day. I think the next couple of days. Maybe time to go get some ice cream. Just take the top off Jeep and just go get ice cream. Maybe. I don't know. I might go camping. Might do both. Might just go camping and then find some place to get ice cream. That's a better way to do it. For a couple days. I do have a thing on Friday, though, I've got to be too, so it kind of throws a monkey wrench into camping possibilities, but we could go someplace for a couple days, tonight and tomorrow night. Could possibly do that. We may do that. There's a place up in Michigan that has I'm going to be doing this with my puppy. One of the things I'm going to be doing with him is doing something called Canny Cross. It's not necessarily called that everywhere, but it's kind of, I've been calling it that just for the sake of it. But it's a thing where you do an obstacle course. It's like a 4-mile long run. You do that. It's an obstacle course that you do with your dog. And then the dog and you do the obstacles together. And so sometimes you have to carry the dog. Sometimes the dog, you know, drags you through the mud. Whatever it is. But it's going to be training for that. There's a place up in Michigan. I think it's going to have an event either in October, might be this month. I think it's the last part of this month or first part. I think it's the first part of next month, I think. And I'd like to go at least visit it. We might even participate in it. There's different levels you can participate in. We might just go just kind of run through it. But we thought about going up there this week and looking at it and just checking the place out. It's kind of you have to pay to use the place. Just even like if you can buy a membership for the year. But it's the kind of thing I'd kind of like to look at. Then I can, because I'm kind of setting up some trails here in my house. I'm doing that. I've let some of the land. I have 7 acres here, and I've let some of it grow up. About four acres, or so that have just grown up with trees and thickets, mulberry bushes, stuff like that, raspberries, all kinds of things, mostly thorns and thistles. But we have that stuff's growing up all over the place. So I'm cutting some trails, like a perimeter road It'll be kind of fun to take the Jeep or any other vehicle for that matter around the perimeter of the property, and then on kind of in parallel to that, there will be some walking trails. And the walking trails, a total, I think I can get about a mile and a half out of it, I think, which is a pretty decent walk. And if you do a couple laps that way, and then of course set up some obstacles that we can kind of work our way across and through and over whatever in the process. I think it'd be kind of fun way to train. So I can do that here at the house. I don't have to go someplace up in Michigan to do it, but you know, maybe once a month or once every couple of weeks, go up there to do that kind of training, just to kind of get fit for that. I think next year it will be his year. We're kind of work on it this year a little bit. He's only 15 months old. Between the ages of 2 and 6, they're really kind of at their peak. 3 and 4 is where they really peak out. But so I'm kind of hoping to kind of train him a little bit into that, kind of ease into it a little bit with my own, you know, because I'm aging. He's getting to his peak. I'm kind of peeking around the corner to, there's not much around the corner for me to peek around. It's just that around the corner I peek around, and it's just possibly, well, the older we get, more. Every day's closer to that day when it's just done, you know, it's over. There you go. Or it's just beginning, you can say that too. It depends on how you look at it. But we have, the sunset is actually, when the sun sets, the day is done. It's the beginning of the day in Hebrew culture. The setting of the sun is actually the beginning of the day. It's the beginning. Kind of have to let that soak in there a little bit, don't you? Looks like the end is actually the beginning. So we have a few things I want to talk about this morning. I don't know. I was going to set up some audio. There is some audio, a couple things, clips here. I'm probably not going to be able to pull them up on the fly. I was going to record them. It always works better when I do that, because then I can just play the recording and go over it. But it's just a couple of things. I want to weigh in on a couple of different things. The big buzz this week, the news cycle is all about the National Guard coming into Chicago, and just in general, Trump cracking down on crime, and the left is now sticking up for criminals and sticking up for people that are wreaking havoc. And oh, we don't want to, you know, Mamdani, the guy who's probably going to be the mayor of New York, possibly. He came out with this statement about how Mayor Adams, he incarcerated the numbers of people that got incarcerated increased under Mayor Adams. Oh my goodness! Yeah, that's what happens when you start cracking down on crime. Now all these leftist cities are all saying, "Oh, crime rate's going down. Crime rate's going down." They're fudging the numbers. They're doing this all over the place. They're making it look like crime is going down, and yet that's not the way people feel about it. At the same time that Governor Newsom is talking about how, oh, we don't need the guard here. Things are all under control because crime is going down. Oh, it's going down, and it's going. He's got issues. This guy's got some problems with his voice. The way he's talking right now, maybe I could find the actual clip of him talking. It's pretty pathetic. I do have a clip of Van Jones speaking here. And I want to, there's a YouTuber. I don't know what her name is. The name of her YouTube channel is We Got Receipts. She's kind of trying to be, I don't know who she is. I don't know if she's been something in the past. I don't know if she's had a talk show in the past or not. She's got 200,000 subscribers. And her videos usually get about 25,000 views or so within the first day. Fairly popular. I don't know if she's trying to be the next Megyn Kelly or whatever she's trying to be, but it's a fairly good channel. sometimes it's kind of a little bit off the beaten path, but it's normally she's got a lot of good clips. She does a good job putting the show together. And I don't know if she's doing it by herself. I don't know if she's got some help or what she's got going on there, but fairly pointed on her position and her opinions on some things. So I might not be able to pull all this off with the clips of the what's going on. The you may hear her voice in the background occasionally. I thought that she maybe she doesn't have a. I'll have to go to Devorey. Devorey Darkins has a maybe a little bit better group of clips, but I want to get this one statement, and she doesn't say it. Maybe I should just go to Devorey because he I think he did a better job of this whole thing. I'm gonna pull this up because, oh, here we go. I think he's got probably more. He goes into this whole thing about Mika Dobrinsky and Tom Homan kind of got into it online, and Homan I think did it as usual did an awesome job of. Now there's a show called, it's on CNN. It's the one that Scott Jennings is on all the time. And he's this lady who runs it. She's kind of a fraud. I don't know how else to put it. She's in portrayal all the time, and the way I can tell by the way she talks that she's only there to carry water. It's just for the Democrat Party, and people are kind of amazing. But anyway, Devorey, here he talks about some of the stuff that's going on, and this is one clip of Van Jones. This is what I want to. I think he plays a longer clip of what Van Jones says here. So let's see if I got him on the docket here for this. Make sure it's going to work.
Kirk had to say.
Now, Charlie Kirk made some comments about this, the killer in Charlotte, the train killer, the guy who got up and just stabbed a white woman, killed her, and walked off the train. Now, he is in state custody right now. The video is very... just brutal. It's disgusting. This guy just, this girl gets hit. She doesn't even know what's happened to her. She's kind of sitting there in a daze, and all of a sudden she starts to pass out, and she doesn't realize why she's passing out. She starts to realize she's bleeding. Doesn't know what happened. She's still trying to figure it out, and nobody around her helps her at all. The train keeps going. People got off the train, and nobody called anybody. Nobody did anything. But to their credit, I don't think anybody realized the seriousness of what just happened. I don't think they realized she was had been murdered there in front of her because the way it happened. Just looking at that scene, the one lady who was sitting right across from her probably didn't know what was that. She just thought she got hit, probably. And the guy walks off. And of course, you just go about your business. I don't know what I would have done in that situation. I don't know. He's a big guy. I would have at least said something to the woman. Are you okay? What just happened here? I don't know that I would have necessarily gone after the guy at the time, knowing that he got caught on video. Probably would have stopped to help her. The other side of the thing is, you go ahead and take the guy out. If I had known the guy had a knife, it's time to stop this guy. He's got to be stopped. And you don't know, you just don't know what's going on. It's hard to tell what's going to happen there. But it's, so we have, it's a tough situation. People are blaming, people are looking at the people around them and going, oh, they didn't do anything. They didn't know what was happening. I'm convinced, they're just trying to get to work or whatever they're trying to do. This kind of thing happens so often now that it's not, they're desensitized to it. They're numb to it. And the sad thing is that the Democrats now are standing up for this guy. Oh, the poor guy. Oh, hurt people. Well, who hurt him? Van Jones. Who hurt him? How did he get hurt? Well, the white man hurt him. I'm sure that's what the answer is. That's what's implied here. It's, you know, he didn't say it, but that's what's implied. He goes after Charlie Kirk because Charlie Kirk said, well, this guy killed this woman because she was white. Well, you don't know that. There's no evidence of that. No, blah, blah, blah. Just, you're the racist. You're the racist for even saying that. And come to find out, yeah, if you listen to the audio, yes, he strikes the white lady and he walks off saying, I got the white girl. I got the white girl. Yeah, I got that white girl. Because, you know, because he's insane. He's schizophrenic. He's been diagnosed as schizophrenic. He's committed at least 14 other crimes. I'm sure he's committed more crimes than he's been caught doing. Probably has a daily record of him being violent. The judge in this case, by the way, who let him out, who has been dealing with him on a regular basis, I guess, has some kind of tie to a mental facility that he'd been attending. And I don't know how exactly this all works, but I think she's somehow tied to this whole thing. In my opinion, it sounds like to the point where she should have recused herself from the whole thing. But anyway, that's just I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I don't know much about anything. I have a lot of opinions in my head, and that's just what I spill out here every day for you, my loyal listeners. And I have a number you can call or text, 812-379-8778. You can let me know what you think about what I think. And we'll go from there. Or you can just comment on, you know, 90s rock bands or whatever you want to do. It's whatever you got going on. You can call or text the show, or you can go to google.com/voice if you don't have a cell phone or a calling plan that takes you across international borders. You just do that. So So there's an inside joke in there in that whole thing. Now back to the serious stuff. We have Van Jones is sticking up for this guy. You know, of course, initially he's not well informed either, and he's kind of jumping on how, you know, Charlie Kirk should be ashamed of himself. You know, that's a pretty high and mighty statement you're getting on. When you start telling somebody else they should be ashamed of themselves, you better be awfully sure of your position to stand on the higher moral ground at that point. Now, I appreciate Van Jones because he's at least pretty much honest. He's honest. He has some self-awareness. Let's put it that way. He's very philosophically wrong in many of his beliefs. Most of his beliefs, I would say, his core beliefs. However, he is at least upfront with and fairly transparent about that. But at the same time, he's very wrong as well. And I think he's the kind of person I could have an honest debate with as far as you know, at least have a discussion with. He's very smooth, very slick, very tricky, the way he speaks to people. Because he has these little platitudes he likes to pull out all the time. These little sayings, these little heartstring puller kind of people. He likes to pull that stuff out. And of course, this lady, Abby, is it Abby Phillips? Is that her name? I think that's her name. I just happen to think of it. She's a fraud. She comes across like she's some kind of very, very thoughtful, very measured individual who, you know, listening to her talk, she's way over her skis on this show. Not a stupid individual. She's smart, and yet at the same time, very ignorant on the issues. And let's just go with this.
A couple of things. One, here we go. Is, I mean, what happened to that young woman was horrible. And it's everybody's nightmare. Any public space, any public subway, space, whatever, that something bad is going to happen to you or somebody you care about. So it does strike a chord. We don't know why that man did what he did. And for Charlie Kirk to say, we know he did it because she's white, when there's no evidence of that, is just pure race mongering, hate mongering. It's
race mongering, hate mongering. So blaming the white man for everything isn't race mongering or hate mongering. No, that's not the case. Because, you know, the white man is already a racist and a hate monger himself. So it's can't do anything, you know, because the white man's blamed for everything. So there
wrong.
You go.
Then he says that if something like that had happened the other way, there'd be sweeping changes imposed on society. Where is the George Floyd Policing Act?
The George Floyd Policing Act was a federal act, and federal agencies have nothing to do with state agencies or local police. We don't have a federal police force for a reason, by the way. In fact, that's one of the biggest issues of the Federal Bureau of Investigations has become a federal police agency, and it shouldn't be. It has morphed into this thing of almost being an intelligence agency that is also police force type agency. That's not what they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be an investigative agency. That's why they call it the Federal Bureau of Investigations. Not the Federal Bureau of Law Enforcement. Federal law enforcement. You don't see federal law enforcement. Because state and local, county, city law enforcement can enforce federal law. That's why. That's why they're supposed to do that, because they're part of the community. You don't have a centralized police force like they would like to think of it as. Like to think of the feds being able to do that. And yet, when it's in the hands of Donald Trump, they don't want that to happen. Oh, what can have that happen? So I'm weighing in on two different things here, basically. This case, the particular case of violence, specific cases of violence, and the whole idea of Trump sending in National Guard, whatever he's doing with the cities that he's going into, and the crime situations that are in these cities. There's two different things happening here. There are two different tracks that go kind of parallel each other. So I might jump back and forth from one to the other this morning. I hope I don't confuse anybody with that. But that's how this conversation is going to go. So just keep that in mind. Because there's, I would say, more than vague similarities. So as I'm pointing this stuff out, just be aware. I'm hoping I can become clear on which situation I'm talking about. So we have ICE doing their thing, and this is part of the whole problem here. So ICE wants to come in and get the criminal illegal aliens, and of course now in the process of getting the criminal illegal aliens, part of their mission is anybody else they run across that's here illegally, they can sweep them up as well. Now, Mika Brzezinski was saying something about disappearing people to Tom Homan, and Tom Homan was like, nobody's disappearing anybody. Well, there was some lady who disappeared. She just, some guy came, some van came, took her out of their house, and they never saw her again. Oh, well, that was, apparently you didn't find out about the rest of that case. Because what happened was, the man murdered his wife. The neighbor's Ring doorbell happened to catch him hauling her body out in garbage bags. Her dismembered body, I might say. In garbage bags. And then reporting her as being taken by ICE agents. They couldn't find her. ICE came and took her. I don't know where she, I don't know what happened to her. ICE was never there. But that's the case they come up with. They come up with all these straw man cases. And of course she throws this other case out there about somebody who, some parents were getting deported because, and even though their child had served in the military, served in the Marines. Well, that's all well and good, but she was trying to catch him on this case. Well, shouldn't they be you know, given some, you know, should they be treated the same? Are they breaking the law? Are they criminals? Well, he doesn't know his response is perfect. I don't know this. I don't know the details on that case. I can't. She's asking him to be judge, jury, and executioner, and somehow rein in with just the information presented. It's basically a straw man. It's not a straw man, but it is. It's a straw situation of a crime or of a particular situation he knows nothing about. The only information he has on that particular case is the information that she just gave him. She's presented him a case that's it's kind of this outlier thing that's it's not for him to decide. It's for the courts to decide, first of all, and secondly, it's a moot point. Why are you asking questions like that? That's not for Tom Homan to decide. If he's a criminal, if they're criminals, they're criminals. Okay, so in the meantime, I need to click on that particular thing. Okay, so we have Van Jones goes on here, accusing Charlie Kirk of this whole thing of saying that he's, you know, let's back up here just a couple seconds. And it's this whole thing of course, the people around him are all, they're all, oh, yes, oh, my goodness, oh, how horrible.
And for Charlie Kirk to say, we know nodding. He did it because she's white, when there's no evidence of that, it's just pure race mongering, hate mongering. It's wrong.
He didn't want to call it racism. He always called it racism.
If something like that had happened the other way, there would be sweeping changes imposed on society. Where?
By the way, now he asked the question.
The George Floyd Policing Act.
Policing it Act. It didn't pass in the House because they knew it was unconstitutional. That's why. You can't pass that kind of a thing. You can't mandate from federal law what the local police, how the police agencies will act. Like, you just can't do that. It goes backwards to everything we know in terms of how the local police do not work for, or they're not held accountable to the federal, unless they break federal law. But of course, there's no federal law that you can impose upon a police office, police organization in terms of how they should conduct business. Unless they violate someone's rights. That's the whole thing. Now, having said that, of course, there are sweeping changes in state law and in city and county law in Minneapolis, where Ferguson happened, where the whole Ferguson thing happened. So you have but he doesn't care. And many many states and many municipalities around the country changed laws and things, which has gotten us into the situation that we have. The whole thing about hands up, don't shoot. By the way, the guy who came out and perpetrated that fraud, Michael Brown's friend, supposed friend, who was with him that night, I believe, or had been there, he claims he witnessed him saying that he put his hands up and he said, he had his hands up, said, don't shoot, and they shot him 12 times, or whatever, however many times it was. Didn't happen at all. Did not happen. Nothing the way he said it did. And of course, we are told that he was out spreading the gospel earlier that day. And of course, the first thing he did right before the whole incident that he was on a robbing spree. He just got done strong arming a robbery in another facility, and he was trying to do the same. And the whole reason they were after him was because of the stuff he had been doing. There had been complaints. And the officer showed. He tried to jump the officer's window, and at one point tried to go for his gun. Had his hand on his gun. I'm sure you're not going to do anything bad with that. This just amazes me, and yet the whole hands up, don't shoot thing is still a thing. At protests. I can't breathe. Hands up, don't shoot. And then, now listen to what he says about the whole George Floyd thing, because it is just one lie after another, and nobody corrects him for this.
Yes. Even when you had a white police officer murder a black man on live television, the whole world saw, there were
a white police officer murdered a black man on live television. Because that's not what we saw. First of all, that's not what we saw. We didn't see a white man murder a black man. A white police officer murder a black man. And it wasn't on live television. So it was not on live television. I don't know where he gets that. They played the videos on live television after the fact. I don't know where he's getting that. Secondly, if you look at the only autopsy that determined that he was choked by the police officer was one that was done by the family of the supposed victim. The evidence in that case, by the way, they had no choice. They had no choice but to convict these police officers, because otherwise they were in total mayhem because of everything that had been trumped up around the whole thing. They had no choice. The public opinion had already swayed to the point where there would have been massive riots had they not convicted these guys, these police officers. We got a picture of him with his knee on the guy's neck. Well, it wasn't on his neck. It was on his back. It was on his shoulder blade, but the angle of the picture made it look like it was potentially on his neck. It was not on his neck. George Floyd was screaming about not being able to breathe, and nobody was even touching him. He was having a medical episode on his own because it's believed, this is just all speculation. It was a lot of witnesses said they saw it. Testimony of which, by the way, could not be presented for the trial. That he actually had a whole bunch of fentanyl-laced stuff that he swallowed right away when the police officers were approaching him. He didn't want to get caught with it. Next thing you know, he's having a medical episode and he ends up dying. One of the effects of fentanyl is it takes away your ability to breathe. It paralyzes your nervous system, your lungs, your heart, everything else. It starts going away. You feel like you can't get enough air. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a specialist. This is just all things I've learned on YouTube University. But there is a really good documentary on the whole George Floyd thing. Several of them out there, actually, but there's a really good one. I can't remember the name of the person who did it. I'm just kind of talking off the top of my head here. But there's much better information than what you just heard, that a man got killed, murdered by a police officer on live television. That didn't happen. Van Jones. Van. Mr. Jones.
No sweeping changes. In fact, not one law was passed at the federal level. So
at the federal level, he throws that in. Well, not one law was passed at the federal level. Because that just shows your ignorance. I'm not a lawyer, and I know better than that.
I think that's an important thing to point out. The other thing is
they're showing pictures of these people who are listening to him. Beside him, it's a split screen. And they're showing some other. This one lady's looking at him, kind of with a frown, kind of looking at him with these furrowed eyebrows. Like, what are you talking about? We're talking about
what? Mentioned the thing about cashless bail. I think this is a big challenge that we have. Would you have felt better if there had been cash bail and the mom had come and put down $1,000 to let him out? It's not about cashless bail or no cashless bail. It's about the fact that we don't know how to deal with people who are hurting in the way this man was hurting. Hurt people hurt people. What happened was horrible.
Hurt people.
An opportunity for people to jump on bandwagons. And then for someone like Charlie Kirk, he should be ashamed of himself. No one mentioned the word race, white, black, or anything except him.
Well, of course.
That's not true. This guy did mention racial issues. Now here's I can't the guy's name. Was Will Kane? He's Will Kane and Charlie Kirk talking.
As you aptly noted that in the video, it's pretty clear that the attacker said, quote, that white girl. Secondly, Van Jones, he puts race in almost every situation where it doesn't exist. For example, with the death of George Floyd, Van Jones repeatedly said that it was a racist attack. You know who didn't say that? Keith Ellison, who is the attorney general of Minnesota at the time, said that race did not play any role in the actions that happened with George Floyd's death. But even beyond that, And I think this is what's very important, is that we are living in a mental model and a framing post 2020. The 2020 model is that the worst thing that could possibly happen is racial attacks. Remember, even before that, Jussie Smollett or the FBI being mobilized for even the slightest whisper of a hate crime. But now, all of a sudden, when we make the left live up to their own standard of rules, there is complete silence by the entire American media. And then Van Jones goes on television and calls me a race hustler for even calling out the facts and the specifics around this case.
So that gives you an idea of where this is at. Now, Caroline Leavitt came out with some interesting stuff on this. And they're going to actually bring federal charges, which might be a little hard to stick on this guy. They're trying to back up the whole thing with federal charges because he committed, what was it? He committed an act of harm on a transportation, federal, on public transportation, which is a federal crime. They found a crime, basically, show me the man, show me the crime kind of thing. Unfortunately, that's kind of where this has gone. And so they're going after it with that intent. Now, that's creative of them. Hopefully, they can pin it on him and make it happen. I think that the intent of that law was something else. If they can get him on that, then they can go after a lot of criminals on public transportation. There's crimes that happen on public transportation all the time. So we'll see how that works out for them. Maybe there needs to be more federal charges. But the problem is, local authorities are not incarcerating these people. He should have been in jail already. He should have been in a mental institution. He needed help. No question about that. But certainly shouldn't have been out in public walking around. His own mother said that. Now, normally their mother comes out and says, he's such a good boy. That didn't happen in this case. She said he couldn't live at home anymore. She had to kick him out. He was homeless. She couldn't do anything with him anymore. And of course, now that was, again, that's kind of casting the blame onto society. Who knows? The situation is there, but I get it. So anyway, I don't know much about her situation and what happened there. Never know. So the situation what happens here is ICE comes in to pick up these some criminals. And this guy wasn't, you know, the lady who was involved in this was a immigrant, basically a refugee from Ukraine. Came here, was living in North Carolina. Now, you have the same thing, you know, Chicago. This guy came out with this. I wish I could find this because I thought it was on Devorah, and apparently it was not. Where I found this, there's a gang guy who comes out and talks about all the, maybe it was on
high profile.
See if I can find this someplace here. There's a gang guy in Chicago that comes out and starts saying, and this video came out a while back. This has been a while back that this happened. Don't be sending those National Guard here to Chicago. We got 1,000 gangs here in Chicago. We got switches. We got, you know, whatever. We're not gonna mess around. You guys are gonna get hurt. These gangs are gonna. Basically, what they're saying is the gangs are gonna come out and defend their city if the National Guard comes in. That's the whole reason for bringing in that, in my opinion, just ups the whole reason for bringing in. This guy made his case for why the National Guard should come into Chicago. If there's 1,000 gangs operating on the South Side, the South and the West Side, I should say, then yeah. If the city can't clean it up, then somebody's got to do it. You just made the case for the National Guard to come in. And if you think you guys are going to win, Because you got your Glocks and you got your stuff and you got whatever it is you're going to do. No, you're not going to win in that. Yeah, you might have a victory here and there. You might be able to knock off one of these guys, but that's just going to bring down more fire upon your heads, guys. You know, but you're foolish enough to be in a gang to begin with. And in some cases, you feel like that's the only way you can survive. Because the protection that the gang offers. I get that. There's a whole culture there. There's a whole society thing that happens there that I understand it. I don't condone it. I think it's ridiculous. At the same time, I understand why it happens. Now, but that doesn't excuse why, you know, you're making your choices, you make your choices, but get out of it. Most of the people in it are in it for the same reason you are. Because they're scared of the consequences of not being in it. Now, I wish I'd find it. Maybe I can find it for tomorrow. I might play that tomorrow and just talk about what this gang guy says. Might make the whole show about that, actually, because it's worth looking at. But the ICE agents come in. Then they have these protesters that come out and protest against ICE. And they get violent. So they bring in the National Guard to protect the ICE agents. which is legal, totally legal. I mean, it gives Trump all the reason in the world to do it, is that the ICE agents are operating under the color of law and within their bounds. And most of the people they're going after right now are hardened criminals. Now, they're picking up about 20%. I think it was 70 to 80% of the people that they are picking up are known criminals, wanted felons. Serious felons, for serious criminals like activity. And you turn around and they actually don't. In the process, they're picking up people who are connected to these guys. So there's another 20% of them that you're picking him up. Well, what about you? What about all these people you're with? And they're finding other people and sweeping them out as well. It's kind of the collateral thing that's happening with that. I don't know if I can find this. I was thinking this guy. That's not the right one either. There's just a whole bunch of different. There's a guy named Vince Deo who has a lot. He's kind of along the lines, kind of the style of Devore Darkins. And they're showing people stealing stuff out of grocery stores and all kinds of stuff that's happening. Hostess Ding Dongs, I think, or whatever it is, some kind of Hostess products of some kind, snacks, are being locked up in grocery stores now. I went into one some city. I can't remember where I was at. I think it was in Philly. I haven't been in Philly for a while. One of the cities I went to recently. Went to this one place. I knew it was kind of a sketchy area. I was there during the day, which is typically not so bad. Everything was locked. Everything. It was a drugstore. Everything was behind a lock counter. You had to ask somebody to come over to unlock it to get to it. I went to a Walmart a while back. I can't remember where it was at. It was in a place that was kind of benign. I had to go into another department and ask somebody. I wanted some parts for a battery. I was looking for, where was this? I can't remember. I think it was up in, it was near Chicago somewhere. And I went into this place and I needed a terminal connection to the battery so that you could actually, turned it into more of like a marine battery. It had kind of a connection you put on your battery stud, and then it had a little, another bolt coming out, a stud coming out that you could screw down like a wing nut that you could screw other accessories to. And I needed one of those. And it was behind a locked case. It was like $5. I had to go get somebody from another department to come over and open up the lock case. Now, I don't know what was going to keep me from just walking out with it, because it was under $1,000 thing that a lot of places have. California, I could have just walked out with it and they couldn't have done anything to me. So I don't know why they lock stuff like that. Ridiculous. It just makes it inconvenient to shop there. I won't shop. Nowadays, if I see something behind a locked thing, I'm not going to bother with it. Especially with an impulse item, something I just want to, I might want to get one of those. If it's behind a lock counter, no, I'm not getting it. I'm not buying it. I'm not wasting my time waiting for that, for something that wasn't, the impulse is gone now. That just blows your whole marketing scheme. My chai's getting cold. Anyway, that's kind of the whole point of this whole thing. And again, we have rampant crime that they're claiming doesn't exist. I'm going to try to find the I'll find it. I'm going to play it. I was going to play it at the beginning. I'm going to play it now because, yeah, this is it right here. This is Leslie Nielsen. He's got this, they're chasing down this. There's this big, huge event that's going on. And it's here's the best. This is probably the best one. It's about 7 seconds long. I'm going to play this. Let's play that. This one's 49 seconds. I'm going to play it because it's the part of the movie where it's like right at the end and there's this big massive crash and they're doing all this stuff and a car goes into a gas tank and then it goes into all kinds of other stuff and thing blows up and it's parts flying everywhere. Massive. Oh, another missile. Drives through this missile launcher. And of course, he blows up. That blows up. The guy's riding on this missile launcher. And he goes into a fireworks store. And of course, that goes in there, and then everything blows up, and it's all like this. And of course, at the end, Leslie Nielsen standing out there. All these crowds are gathering around. Leslie Nielsen comes up.
Nothing to see here. Please disperse.
Fiery, but mostly peaceful. Please. Peaceful, but mostly fiery. What was it? Mostly peaceful. Fiery, but mostly peaceful. That's what it reminds you of. It's. Things exploding, all kinds of things happening behind him, and pretty funny. That's kind of what we're seeing here. Nothing to see here, nothing to see here, kind of thing. And that's kind of what they're doing with the whole crime thing in a lot of these cities. What is this? China challenges U.S. helicopter, big mistake. Okay. Oh, how long ago was that? 11 days ago. Okay. Well, anyway, that's where we're at with this whole thing. And we are, I think, at a tipping point in the country where we have to make a decision as a nation. You know, are we going to simply coddle the culture that is leading to the destruction of our the fiber of our nation? I mean, it's just you, when the crime rate starts going up, it drives all kinds of economic issues. It can destroy an economy. When you have crime rates going up, taxes going up, people, you know, good businesses are leaving the area because they can't afford, you know, you just can't make the bottom dollar work. Mom and pop shops, especially, they can't absorb it. It's their one and only. Maybe they have one or two stores in a city, whereas, you know, something like a big chain store can actually kind of subsidize the loss because they have other places where they are making the money, so they can still provide. But you can't just provide something for nothing. At some point when it's costing you too much, you're losing $100,000 a year in a store. It's just no use keeping the store open anymore. Oh, you're providing a service to the public, but it's at some point, you're better off just closing that down. So that's kind of where things are, I think, in our nation right now, and it's at a point where we've got to hold my opinion. First of all, the perpetrators need to be held to account, but I think as well the politicians and the bureaucrats that encourage or don't do anything to stop this activity, they've got to be held to account as well. And it's you know, all the platitudes, all the warm fuzzies, everything that they talk, you know, it's not helping anybody with anything. And it's just, that's the sad state of where it's at. I don't know. I don't have any solutions. I'm not a geopolitical whatever. I'm not an expert on any of that. But I'm just saying, something's got to change. Minds have got to be put together that, you know, have a clue. I don't have a clue. So I do have a phone number, though, that you can call. 812-379-8778. Feel free to call or text that number and let me know what you think about what I think. And I have a show tomorrow and probably Friday. Show tomorrow may not happen, however. Friday might happen, but it might be late. It all depends on whether I go camping or not or go to the boat. Something's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen. With this kind of weather, okay, who knows? God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day, rest of your week. Take care. I will talk to you hopefully tomorrow. See ya.